You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Every single Wednesday we do this, and it's been fantastic. You guys have been great this offseason, dropping us voicemails, text messages, coming up with questions and conversations that not only start on Wednesday's episode, but trickle out throughout the weeks. So continue to do that. 331-979-1369. We expect our voicemail line to kind of explode in the next few weeks once we get into training camp. Like we'd said, less than a month from the Bulls' first preseason game, which is pretty crazy. So drop us anything you want to hear before training camp starts. 331-979-1369. With that, few days left to buy tickets for Bowling with Bobby Portis. We're super excited about this event at King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park. 2 to 6 p.m. That's this Saturday, September 8th. 2 to 6 p.m. at King's Dining and Entertainment. Easy way to get tickets. Either head over to Facebook on our events page at LockedOnShibles.com. Otherwise, you can head over to Eventbrite.com, search Locked On Bulls, search Bowling with Bobby, and you'll be able to find your tickets there. We have GA and VIP tickets available there. Should be a great time, and like we've said before, can't say anything for certain, but believe that there's going to be just more than just Bobby Portis showing up to this event. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a whole afternoon of Bulls talk, bowling, and should be a whole hell of a lot of fun. So get your tickets at Eventbrite.com. Search Bowling with Bobby or Locked On Bulls. Matt, we're through the middle of the week here, getting back to mailbag. But first, how you doing? What's going
doing
on?
Doing all right, Jordan. What's up, Bulls Nation? Like you said, very much looking forward to this weekend and our Bowling with Bobby event. Hope to see all y'all out with us bowling, having some good food, having a good time. We'll also do a live recording of this show, a live special weekend episode of this show at the venue, so that should be fun. My 312 show is kicking things off in our normal live broadcast slot from 2 to 3, so we'll not only do some Bulls talk in that, but we'll probably talk about this Bears-Packers showdown we got coming up on Sunday. Man, between this Bowling with Bobby event Saturday and Bears-Packers Sunday Night Football, We're about to have one hell of a weekend here in Chicago.
Should be a whole ton of fun. So join us on Saturday. It's going to be a ton of fun. Bowling, Bobby Portis, Bulls talk, all of that good stuff. If you're 21 and over too, be selling beer and alcohol sales available at the bar as well. So another reason why you should join us. An afternoon of some beers, some bowling, and some Bulls basketball. So we're looking forward to seeing you there. Eventbrite.com, get your tickets there. Tickets will be available at the door, but to secure your spot, make sure you buy your tickets, eventbrite.com. With that, Wednesday's mailbag, we've got a few voicemails to go through. We've got some text messages as well. Once again, you can hit us up 331-979-1369. All right, let's get to the first voicemail of the day. Let's kick it right off here. This one's from Mike in D.C.
Hey, what's going on? It's Mike from D.C. I recorded a voicemail earlier, but I had to record another one after listening to some of the pod today on Thursday. A couple points. Number one, Devin Booker scored 70 points in a game. So there's no way that the Zach LaVine-Devin Booker comparison is accurate. Devin Booker is way more of an offensive threat than anybody that the Bulls has on the roster right now. Anybody. So that comparison is completely insane. The stats might say one thing, but the man scored 70 points in a game. That Zach LaVine is never going to do that, ever. I am high on Zach LaVine, though. I personally believe that Zach LaVine can be a great player. Not necessarily Jimmy Butler, but I think he can be a great player. I won't even touch on the Jimmy Butler trade because it was stupid. We should have built around Jimmy, but that's another story for another day. My next question is there too much hype being put around Lauri Markkanen? I think that a lot of people are being completely optimistic because of the 15 points that he averaged in his rookie year, and he had a pretty good rookie year, and also the price that it came to get him in that draft day trade a couple years ago. So I think there's a lot of expectations that's being placed on Lauri Markkanen because of those two things. But I do think he's being overhyped. I see Lauri Markkanen as a Kevin Love type of ceiling. So that's not really impressive to me. I'm not a believer in Lauri Markkanen being a face of this franchise. I believe we need another stud wing player, someone with the potential to be a Jimmy Butler or a Kawhi Leonard or somebody like that. I think we need one of those guys on the team in order for me to be sold on who our number one option is. But I view Markkanen as a number two option. And I know that you guys are big Lowry fans and you want to see him in the dunk contest and the three-point contest and the skills competition. And you talk about the way his body looks in offseason. I know you guys are like fanboys over him and everything like that. But I'm just not that firm of a believer in him. So my question to you guys is, is he being overhyped?
All right, thanks for the voicemail again, Mike. Appreciate hearing from you. I know you're probably not alone on this, but I'm going to stick with this at least for this year, probably beyond that, because I do believe in Zach LaVine's skills. But I know there's been a couple people that have clapped back at me and saying, like, you're absolutely insane to think that Devin Booker and Zach LaVine are even in the same breath. And I would say, yes, he's right about Devin Booker being a bigger offensive threat than Zach LaVine right now at this point. But I'm telling him, like, yes, Devin Booker hasn't had a torn ACL and hasn't missed a full season. But you look at their numbers, especially defensively, you look at their shooting percentages, and you look at the team that Devin Booker was on, that terrible Suns team. That was my argument last week. If you dropped Zach LaVine into that lineup and plugged out Devin Booker, would Zach LaVine, a healthy Zach LaVine, be able to put up the numbers that Devin Booker was putting up on that Suns team? And to me, it's not out of the realm of possibility, and it's actually probably pretty close. I think Zach LaVine could 100% put up the kind of numbers Devin Booker was putting up on a very terrible Suns team. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The time missed between Josh Jackson and a few other guys that were supposed to be their other offensive weapons just didn't work out. So it was literally Devin Booker or nobody. And while the Suns were getting their teeth kicked in and night out, Devin Booker was putting up nice numbers. Now you look at that on top of the contract that he just signed, 5 years, $158 million. That's a lot of money. And you're getting Zach LaVine at a fraction of that cost. I'm just saying, man, like the trajectory, while Devin Booker is still a few steps ahead of Zach LaVine at this point, don't be surprised if those two guys, unless Devin Booker just unbelievably explodes defensively and he just all of a sudden becomes a different defensive type of player, like those guys are probably in the same line and can be in the same breath. It'll just be a matter of whether Zach LaVine can come back and be the type of scorer he was in Minnesota, or if it's kind of the same thing that we saw in the 25 games he was with the Bulls. So there's a big if, but they're not that far apart if you're talking about their actual games and looking at their seasons 3 years before.
They're far apart if you are looking at their NBA 2K19 ratings. I don't know if you caught that from my solo show on Monday, Jordan, but Devin Booker is an 87. LaVine's an 80. I'd say that's pretty accurate from my vantage point. I am so sick of this silly Zach LaVine Devin Booker comparison. So I'm going to address the other part of Mike's voicemail, and that is talking about how he just doesn't see the potential for Markkanen, or at least thinks that he's overhyped. And there are a couple of things from his thoughts on Markkanen that I want to touch on. First of all, when Jordan and I were talking about, oh, it would be awesome to see LaVine and Markkanen go head-to-head in the dunk contest, or it would be great to see Markkanen in the three-point contest, or, you know, if he doesn't make the All-Star team as a second-year player, hopefully at least we see him again in the Rising Stars Challenge playing for the world team. That was just us having a conversation about things we'd like to see All-Star Weekend when it comes to the Bulls' involvement. Players on this Bulls roster who can be involved in the upcoming All-Star Weekend. That's all that was, man. We weren't talking about Markkanen's career trajectory, other than, I believe the conversation started with, who do you think is most likely to be the first player on this Bulls roster to make an All-Star selection? And I think you and I both agreed that was Lauri Markkanen. Maybe LaVine as a close second as far as likelihood of making the All-Star team. But that was just us talking about All-Star Weekend, Mike. I think you were taking that out of context. I don't necessarily disagree with your opinion that Markkanen might not be good enough to be the number one guy on a championship-contending team. I think Jordan and I have each expressed that very same doubt on this show. We don't know if he's going to be that good. But of the pieces we have right now, I think, Jordan, you agree with me on this. He has the highest ceiling. He has the highest potential ceiling given his age, given a lack of serious injuries in his rearview mirror, given all of, you know, given the fact that he's a 7-footer who can spread the floor, all these things that are what you want to see from a big in the way that the modern NBA is trending. All of that equates to him having the highest ceiling. Not once on this show has Jordan or I said Markkanen is a good enough piece to be the number one option on a championship team. Neither of us have ever said that. We said that there's optimism that his ceiling might get somewhere close to that. And your comparison of Kevin Love, I mean, if Markkanen turns out to be prime Kevin Love in his prime, who's turning their nose up at that? The dude's a five-time All-Star. He's got seasons under his belt where he's averaging like 25 and 15. Is that really a disappointment if Markkanen has a handful of seasons like that? I mean, come on, Mike.
I want to jump in really quick outside the Devin Booker talk. I think the root of this not believing in anybody on this team, and he did say he does believe in Zach LaVine, so I'll give him props for that. Maybe he doesn't believe in the potential that I maybe see at this point, comparing him to Devin Booker, but that's fine. Everybody's got their scale of who they feel like and where that they're going to end up. But like you said, to me, Kevin Love, like you had said, like he won, and he was a vital part of winning an NBA championship. Obviously, they had LeBron James. I get that. But being part of a historical team that came back from 3-1 to win you an NBA championship, like he was a vital part of that role. And you look at his first two seasons in Minnesota too, Kevin Love averaged 11-9 and 14-11. Like, those are points where Markkanen is hanging around that point. So, like, yeah, if you're telling me that Markkanen can turn into a Kevin Love in his prime for 5-6 seasons, like, to me, that's more than good enough. Because you don't get, like, 80% of the players that come through the NBA don't ever turn into something like Kevin Love. So to get that at the number 7 pick, too, on top of getting Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine, like, that's pretty damn good return. And just talking about what Kevin Love could be, and I know Kevin Love had a couple down seasons here and there, especially 2012, 2013. He had a down season because he was hurt. But you can't really take anything away from him from that. So I would say if Kevin Love if Lauri Markkanen turns into Kevin Love, I'm more than satisfied with that. More than satisfied.
Yeah,
satisfied with that.
And I think we would agree that if his ceiling turns out to be prime Minnesota Kevin Love, who is maybe the first or in some nights second scoring option on your team offensively, that's not enough to be a championship contending team. And we've never said that. We've simply stated that we believe in Markkanen and the fact that of these players on this Bulls rebuilding core right now, he probably has the highest ceiling. And if his ceiling isn't anything higher than Kevin Love, that's still a hell of a player that you're going to have under team control and have the ability to keep as a restricted free agent when his rookie deal is up. And hopefully you continue to see more. And the point that Mike made about, like, you're all of a sudden asking Markkanen to be like an 18 to 20 points per game scorer and saying that that's a big jump. I'm sorry, he averaged 15 and change as a rookie. Right? I know that there are some concerns about his field goal attempts coming into the season with a fully healthy Levine and now also Jabari Parker. But you make it sound like for a player as talented as Markkanen to up his points per game by 2 or 3 or 4 over the course of this season, his third season, like, that's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Kevin Love dominated too historically as a defender. So that would be something too where I would say, you know, Lauri Markkanen has got to make hella strides as far as his defensive game goes in order to get to the level Kevin Love's at. Like, you look at his defensive rating, he's got a career defensive rating of 106. That's unbelievable. An offensive rating of 116. Like, Kevin Love had two seasons where he had an offensive rating of 120 or more. Over two seasons. 120.
Actually three.
2010-2011.
2010-11, 13-14, and this past season, 17-18, he had an offensive rating of 120.
And his defensive rating's never been above 110. So you look at that, and I know that's just one stat, but still, like, Kevin Love is the defender and the all-around player. I don't think Kevin Love gets enough credit for the type of player that he actually is because he was overshadowed by LeBron. And you can make arguments there back and forth about that. But to me, like, and I would pose this question to all Bulls fans. If Lauri Markkanen turned into Kevin Love, would you be satisfied with that? Because I think the majority of fans would say, hell yeah, we would be satisfied with that. And the other thing, too, to just kind of wrap this entire thing up, we don't have to figure everything out right now. This Bulls team right now, as it stands, I don't think is done. It's not the team you're going to go into and say, okay, this is the team that we're hitting our prime with. 3 years, potentially 4 years is our open window to really compete for the potential of going back to the NBA Finals. I don't think that team's said it all. And the Bulls have said that. Like, everybody on this team, outside of, I think, Markkanen, is either a trade asset, a guy that they're still looking at, a guy that they're still looking to develop, and they're trying to see what they have. And this is only year two. We haven't even played a game in year two. So I would say we don't have to fix everything this season. And I still hold out hope and I still hold out belief that the Bulls are planning another move here. And whether that's in a year's time or that's in a 2 years' time to spend money and go and buy a star or go and trade for a star. I truly believe that if the Bulls want to return to back to an NBA Finals, they have to do that. And they have the assets and they have the pieces to be able to do that. So I wouldn't be so concerned about where these guys are in year two of the rebuild. It's more about their player development and what their progression looks like as a player and not necessarily as a team what this looks like right now. I would say go individual case-by-case basis to evaluate this Bulls team coming up. And hell, maybe they do surprise us as a team as a whole, and maybe we're looking at a better team than you and I, Matt, think at a 30 to 35 clip, and maybe there are more towards the 40 range, but we don't know. Those are unknowns. So I would say don't get super upset about this being a rebuild and we only being in year two and needing to fix everything. Even with the additions of Parker and Levine long-term, there's still a lot of holes and there's still a lot of unknown on this team.
Absolutely. You know, like we said, if Markkanen isn't your number one guy who's good enough to be the number one guy on a championship team and his ceiling, as Mike suggests here, is the ceiling that of a Kevin Love, what are you gonna turn that down? Okay, so if his ceiling is Kevin Love and he is a guy who has the potential to be a five-time All-Star, make two All-NBA teams, be a rebounding title winner in the 10-11 season, leading the league in rebounds. You know, he has a most improved player award under his belt. Like, he's an NBA champion, all rookie, just like Lowry Mark. Like, what? Okay, so maybe that guy's the second best player on your championship contending team. And like you just said, none of us believe that this Bulls rebuilding core is complete. And that's why I keep harping on the fact that I think the Bulls should be back in the lottery next summer. I think it would be to the team's best benefit if they are back in the lottery next summer, because I don't necessarily think that Markkanen can be so good that he is option one on a championship contending team. I have my doubts about LaVine, and I certainly, as you have heard all summer long, have my doubts about Jabari Parker. Chris Dunn, yeah, you hope he turns into a decent pass-first point guard who gets better scoring behind the three-point line and at the rim, but, what, you know, option three on a contending team, maybe? So, yeah, look, this rebuilding core is not complete. All Jordan and I have said is that we are, you know, pretty much along the same lines of viewing Markkanen as the dude who has the highest ceiling among this core right now. That's it.
Appreciate the call again, Mike. Please keep dropping his voicemails because you're bringing up good conversation. And when we've got some more time and Matt's maybe doesn't want to roll his eyes at the idea of comparing LaVine and Booker together, and maybe that'll happen sometime between December and January when we get a little bit more of a sample size, we can come back to that conversation in a few months, though. I'll let that sit where it is because I've got... And maybe I'll tweet it out if you want to look at the statistical comparison between those two guys in Zach LaVine's first 4 years and Devin Booker's in his first three. You'd be surprised at how similar their numbers are. So
NBA 2K19, baby. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, well, NBA 2K19 barely gave Markkanen an 80. What did he go, 82?
82.
Yeah, he should be higher than that. Last thing, Mike, and I think you sit in the same situation that there are a lot of Bulls fans that feel like you that maybe don't believe in these guys that were traded. And you said you believed in Zach LaVine, but maybe you don't believe in Markkanen, or you don't believe in Dunn, or just the rebuild in general. And you're still a little irritated with the Bulls for trading Jimmy Butler in his prime. And there's... I'm not one of those Bulls fans, but there are a ton of Bulls fans out there that feel the same exact way you do. So you're not alone. Definitely not alone on that. We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, we're taking more voicemails, we're taking more text messages, and answering your questions on today's Wednesday mailbag. You can hit us up 331-979-1369 on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, and on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
Welcome back to Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck and Jordan Malley hanging out with you on a Mailbag Wednesday. Before we dive into our next segment, just a reminder that you should get your tickets for Bowling with Bobby Portis, hosted by us, Locked On Bulls, ASAP at Eventbrite.com. And speaking of that, a shout out to our friends at King's Dining and Entertainment, located at 1500 North Clybourne Avenue in Lincoln Park, the heart of the North Side. Our Bowling with Bobby headquarters. It should be your football headquarters all season long. A 222-foot bar, the longest bar in Chicago. Full-service restaurant and over 50 HD TVs, not to mention the 16 pristine 10-pin bowling lanes, highly recommended by none other than Bobby Portis himself. Four billiards tables, air hockey, darts, and more. Looking forward to hanging out at King's on Saturday. With that, Jordan, I believe you had a quick point that you wanted to get to from one of our interactors out there in Aussie land.
Yeah, so I had a DM last night just touching on our episode yesterday. You know how we talked about how they brought up Markkanen's quickness with his feet maybe being attributed to his soccer play early on in his career, and just talking about like Joel Embiid and Hakeem Olajuwon and those guys playing soccer and how that benefited them as an NBA player. One of our listeners had DM'd me and said, on the last pod, I listened to you guys mention some NBA players having foot speed due to them playing soccer. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Ben Simmons, among many other Australian NBA players, will have also picked up some foot speed from our national sport, the AFL, Australian Rules Football, which if you get a chance to watch is the best sport in the world, if you understand it. Anyway, there isn't much more of a point to this, but I just wanted to say thanks for the podcast. And so I was curious. I was like, I have no idea what the AFL is. And I was curious if there was any other NBA players that's learned to play and maybe built some skills from this. And somebody else I came across too is Patty Mills. There's YouTube videos all over the place of Patty Mills playing AFL and saying how he, if he would have stayed in Australia, he could have ended up being an AFL superstar. Same thing with Ben Simmons. Apparently, he was an extremely good AFL AFL player. So I'm curious. I'm like, maybe that there was more Australian players than I wasn't realizing that played other sports and outside of the United States and besides basketball. And Ben Simmons and Patty Mills were two other guys. So we've got Australian listeners out there or international listeners that you can think of that stars in the NBA decided to pick basketball over some of those sports. I'd be curious to know who those players are, and I'd be curious to maybe do a little bit more research on what the Australian Football League actually involves and what their rules are. Definitely cool note. Appreciate the direct message from one of our listeners in Australia. All right, let's get to our next voicemail now. This one comes from Corey. We haven't heard from him in a couple weeks, so let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey, guys, this is Corey Solomon out of the L.A. area. Remember I called a couple weeks ago about that the Bulls was going to be a 40 to a 45 win team, and y'all told me y'all would like to hear from me again. Well, here I am, and I'm not going to get too much into the win total and how much the Bulls going to win, but I'm still sticking to my 40 to 45 wins, and the only thing I want to say about that is, a lot of people keep talking about the Bulls and the under 27, this and that. To me, what I get out of it, of Matt and Jordan, that y'all must really don't have no faith in the Bulls players at all. You must think that neither one of them players on the Bulls team is going to mount to anything. They're never going to be good. I just don't see it that way. But if that's the case, like y'all say, the way y'all be thinking and the way y'all be saying that they ain't going to win these many games, that means none of the Bulls players are any good on that team, and they need to really go into the rebuild now before the season starts. That's what I get out of it. If you don't believe none of the players on the Bulls is going to be better, going to get better, or ain't any good, they might as well do a rebuild right now. But just to get off of that, well, tell me your thought on that. And my next question is about Denzel Valentine. What do you guys think about Denzel Valentine? I think Denzel Valentine, his ceiling is more like an Evan Turner. He reminds me of an Evan Turner type player, and he's not going to be no more or no better than Evan Turner is. What do you guys think about that? And just because we don't agree on the 40 to 45 wins, don't mean I don't like you guys. I love your show. Keep doing it. Y'all have the best content in the offseason than anybody. And I've been searching. Nobody's better than you guys. So keep it up. And I look forward to the season start. And I'll see y'all maybe a couple months down the line. And we'll see who's correct about that 40 and 45 win season. Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks for checking in again, Corey. Appreciate hearing from you. He has 2 points here. And we'll get to the Denzel thing in a minute. But first, let's talk about his follow-up on his email from, or his voicemail from a week or two ago, that he's really thinking that we're selling this Bulls team short, and that that we just don't have any faith in any of these guys being any good. I think, you know, Corey, and I'm not trying to insult you here, because clearly you're just one of these Bulls fan optimists who sees this, you know, collective group of young talent and sees a team capable of winning 40 to 45 games in a mediocre, at best, Eastern Conference. And I understand where you're coming from. And you mentioned again that over-under win total at 27.5. I think now it's been pushed to 28.5. And I'm not saying, and I think of the two of us, I'm a little bit more skeptical and a little bit more pessimistic than Jordan is as far as how good or bad this Bulls team is going to be this season. I've said that I'm still taking the over on that. I just am saying that I'm somewhere in the realm of, I think that this Bulls team might be good enough to win, you know, a number of games somewhere in the low to mid 30s, which is not exactly where I want them to be. I don't know if they're going to be competitive enough to be a playoff team this season. And if not, I'd rather them be a high lottery team again, just because that's the way this league works. And you need to maximize your opportunities of landing a franchise changing star in the draft. But I'm just saying that 40 to 45 seems optimistic. And that is not me saying that I don't believe or have faith in any of these young players on this team right now. I have faith in Markkanen turning into a damn good NBA player. I still am holding on to faith that Chris Dunn can turn himself into a quality player on both ends, not just a great defensive point guard. I have question marks about Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker. I'm not hopeless on either of them. I just have questions about how effective and efficient they might be. All that said, that's why I just see enough question marks across this roster to say it's hard to win 40 to 45 games in the NBA. Even if you're in the Eastern Conference, winning in the NBA is hard. And most often, young teams don't do a lot of winning. And you say, well, what about Boston last season? What about Philly last season? Okay, Philly's rebuild took forever. And yeah, some of the pieces on that team are young. They also had some quality veterans playing real key minutes for them last season. Same thing with Boston. They had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum having great seasons. They also had Al Horford, one of the most trusted veterans in the league, have a monster season. And Boston and Philly being two of the best three teams in the East last year as collectively fairly young teams, or at least teams that had very young pieces, that's the exception, not the rule. And the other best team in the East was, it's funny, I'm not even talking about Toronto because of how much they crashed and burned. The other best team in the East was LeBron and a bunch of garbage because LeBron. And they were the ones left standing in the Eastern Conference because guess what? Young teams don't win. So that's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, just not seeing these 40 to 45 wins that you see. It's a young team with a lot of question marks. Given that situation, yeah, I'm definitely ticking at least a handful of wins off of their projected win total if you set it somewhere at 40. I'll buy over 27. I'll buy over 28. But 32, 33 seems much more realistic to me.
The one thing I will say about this is, I guess I don't necessarily care what the Bulls' win total is this season and whether it is 30 games, whether it's 40 games. I think you're right, too. Like, it's hard to win 40 games in the NBA. Like, Jimmy Butler barely scraped 40 wins in his last season here with Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, and a few other pieces. And what the Bulls have right now, they're going to go through some growing pains, the way that they're going to be able to play together. A lot of these guys haven't played together. The most important pieces haven't played more than 20 games together. Talking about Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen, you had two unknowns.
One of the important pieces, Wendell Carter Jr., hasn't played with them at all yet.
And neither has Jabari Parker. That's another important piece to whether or not this Bulls team's going to be successful. I'm not saying it's crazy to think that 40 wins is possible with this team, because realistically, all it takes is one guy to pop off. If one guy has an extremely good season, and you've got five darts to throw there, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Jabari Parker, Wendell Carter Jr., any of those five guys have enormous seasons, yes, you can be talking about 40 wins. But to me, there's going to be growing pains that I don't think fans necessarily want to look at. There's injury concerns and whether or not this Bulls team can stay healthy. And overall, I just don't care about what the win total is this season. If you look at this team 8 months from now, and we're talking about a 35-win team that you're looking at Markkanen being at cusp of an all-star, you're looking at Zach LaVine being at a cusp of an all-star, and maybe not even at those points, but you've got so many guys that if you can see positive value from just 1 year of player development, and then adding and thinking about adding potentially all the cap space that they could have, adding a star to that roster, like that to me, we're still a year away from talking about whether or not the win total actually should be serious or not. To me, I don't care how many wins the Bulls get. It's about how these guys are going to develop this year and how these guys are going to play together. The wins and losses, sure, they can stack up either way. I don't care about that this season. I care about whether or not those five core guys that I talked about get better in any capacity at all. And if one of those guys has a breakout season, yeah, you could potentially be talking about 40 wins. But I don't know if I'm there yet with the amount of unknown that is with this roster right now.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, real quickly, let's touch on his Denzel Valentine question and the Evan Turner comp. To me, it's a fairly interesting comp. I don't know if you're insulting Denzel by saying that his best potential ceiling is Evan Turner. It sounds like you're saying that as a negative hypothetical. And you know, I can see where you're coming from, because Evan Turner, compared to his draft stock and his draft capital, is a guy who's kind of been a disappointment in his NBA career, spanning, you know, what's it been now, 7 or 8 seasons. If you look at their numbers comparatively, Turner's career totals or career averages in Valentine's, other than Evan Turner getting more of an opportunity and having a 10.2 to 8 flat points per game average edge over Denzel, most of the rest of it is, you know, pretty even across the board, or Denzel looking like a better player than Turner. Especially if you go per 36 minutes, Turner 13.2, Denzel 12.6 points per game. Turner 4.5 assists to Denzel's 3.6. Both have a steal. Turner turns the ball over considerably more than Denzel. Right around the same 78-76 free throw percentage. True shooting percentage, Denzel's actually better than Turner. 51.7 to 49.2. And Denzel is clearly a better three-point shooter, shooting 37.4 for his career compared to Evan Turner, 30.1. Really not much of a three-point shooter at all. So if Denzel Valentine's ceiling is Evan Turner, I might turn to you and say, in some ways, even last season, especially when Denzel looked like a much improved player from his rookie season, he's already a more useful player than Evan Turner. And again, that's, you know, pumping the brakes. Well, all of a sudden, I'm not going to say Denzel Valentine has this, you know, great, immense ceiling ahead of him. I'm just saying it's an interesting comp as far as player comps go. In some ways, Valentine's already a more efficient player than Turner has been.
Denzel Valentine and Evan Turner's first two seasons in the league. And that's where I can kind of closely compare it at. And yeah, Evan Turner had, what, 1 or 2 seasons where he scored like 13, 14 points per game. But he bounced around from a bunch of different teams, and Evan Turner's been injured a lot. But if you're just looking at what they could have projected at and what Evan Turner ended up being, he's not far off offensively. He's not far off offensively. Through the first two seasons, both Denzel Valentine and Evan Turner, right around 8 points per game. Same thing, right around four rebounds and 2.5 assists in about 0.7 steals. So you're looking at that, and their field goal percentage is off by about 4%. 43.6 for Evan Turner and just below 40% for Denzel Valentine, 39.9. The only thing that I would say is a sticking point for me, and this is probably something Denzel Valentine's going to have to improve on this season if he wants to ultimately get to the point where the Bulls are either going to have to trade him or he just gets too valuable to be able to be on the bench. You got to become the better defender. Like, yeah, your shooting popped off last year, but you got to become a better defender. And Evan Turner was a great defender in his first two seasons. He was in offensive rating of 96 and a defensive rating of 102. While his offense wasn't there necessarily, Denzel Valentine was a 102 offensive rating and a 110 defensively. So the defense is where I have the hole as far as the comparison between Evan Turner and Denzel Valentine. But offensively, yeah, you can make an argument for that too, and especially at the three-point range. Denzel Valentine's been a hell of a lot better three-point shooter than Evan Turner was. But I don't know if the athleticism is the same as Evan Turner was when he was coming into the league, and what that ultimately projects for Valentine as a whole. And Evan Turner could switch between the two and the three. Do you believe that Denzel Valentine can play quality minutes not only at the three, but also at the two, too? And do you see him kind of moving to that role now because of Chandler Hutchison and maybe trying to get looks? If Jabari Parker does play well at the three, you're going to have two guys clogged at the three where he's been playing off the bench last year?
I mean, I suppose it's possible. We've kind of seen glimpses of Valentine play both of those positions in his first two seasons. And of course, another factor last year that won't be a factor this year is David Nwaba and where he played his minutes. Speaking of someone who was a quality defensive player for this Bulls team last season, who will no longer be here. But yeah, you talk about the competition for minutes at the two guard, you know, wing combo spots between Denzel, Justin Holiday, Chandler Hutchison, and of course the Bulls insisting on starting Jabari there. I mean, yeah, I think that there will be a mixed bag there as far as where Fred decides to play Denzel at the two as opposed to the three. There's competition in both of those spots because he's competing with not only Blakeney for minutes at the two, but he's competing with Holiday at minutes at the two and the three, and Hutchison at minutes at the three, and maybe some two. It depends on where Fred sees Hutchison fitting in well in training camp and in preseason. But you know, Denzel's got these great big goals for this season, and he's got a lot of competition to make it happen.
His rookie season, he played 67% of his minutes at shooting guard and 31% at small forward. He played just under 1,000 minutes in his rookie season. So he doubled that last year, and where he was most effective, at least offensively, he played 94% of his minutes at the three. So looking at that, if he switches from having to guard wings, and that would be something that I'd have to look into, how often did him and Nwaba switch at the two and the three when they were defending? How often did Nwaba have to grab the wings, which we normally saw? Like, you'd see Denzel and David Nwaba switch off, like, especially against the Cavs. I remember him guarding LeBron and guarding some of these other wing players that, you know, as far as size goes, he was overmatched. So I wonder if Denzel Valentine moves to the two, if defensively that'll help him improve his game a little bit. I'm not saying
Denzel, I think, would do much better defensively at the two than the three. I think there's no question about that.
So I think the Evan Turner comp is not bad. I think the gap I only see there as far as defensively, and that I'm just talking about first two seasons.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's not so like Evan Turner has been like some amazing all defensive team kind of player at any point in his career. I think people saw that potential in him at the early stage of his career, and it just kind of never panned out. Whereas I think the expectations for Denzel coming into the NBA were low. Yeah, this was a four-year guy at Michigan State, and the guy that Tom Izzo trusted to run his offense, you know, for sporty teams that were making deep tourney runs. But he came into the league as an old rookie with not a whole lot of athleticism in the middle of the first round, and everybody had low expectations for Denzel. So I think that's another thing you got to keep in mind is what these guys have shown, and of course Turner's been in the league a lot longer than Denzel at this point. But what has Turner given his teams in the NBA compared to what was expected of him versus what Denzel Valentine has given compared to what was expected of him? And I think Denzel's kind of just, you know, chugging along the line of right around what is expected of him, if not maybe a shade less or a shade above. I'm kind of just like right there in the middle as far as like what he has been versus what was expected of him. Whereas Turner clearly has been a disappointment compared to his draft capital.
Yeah, he was the number two pick in the 2010 draft by the 76ers. A few notable names that went after Evan Turner at number two was DeMarcus Cousins at number five, Gordon Hayward at number nine, Paul George at number 10, and John Wall was the first pick in that draft. Other than that, but that's three guys that went ahead, and even Derek Favors went at number three.
Dude, that's a crazy hypothetical. You know, cool, we're done talking about Denzel Valentine. But when you were just listing those 2010 draft picks, Evan Turner second, picked ahead of Boogie, Hayward, and Paul George. Imagine if any of those three guys went two overall to Philly. Does the process even happen? Does the Simmons Embiid core of this young Philly team exist now? Probably not. And where are those players? Where is Simmons right now? Where is Embiid right now? If Philly took Boogie, Hayward, or Paul George, who probably would have made that team considerably better than the nothing that Turner gave them, that's a crazy thing that could turn today's NBA upside down if Philly hadn't screwed the pooch on that Evan Turner pick.
Imagine if Golden State would have drafted Gordon Hayward or Paul George instead of Ekpe Edu at number six. Gordon Hayward or Paul George adding to that Golden State Warriors team, that could have changed a lot of things too. You look at all those teams that made mistakes.
Well, hey, and hey, Boogie found his way there eventually.
Yeah, that's true.
Although he was off the board right at five, so.
Well, I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, get your tickets for Bowling with Bobby Portis. That's this Saturday, September 8th at King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park, 1500 North Clybourne Avenue in the city of Chicago on the north side in Lincoln Park. Get your tickets today, eventbrite.com. Bowling with Bobby. Search that or Locked On Bulls. You can find tickets there. You can also find the links on Twitter. Hit us up at Locked On Bulls or on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. You can hit us up if you want to be a part of the conversation. 331-979-1369 is our line to text and call. We want to hear from you. So if you've got any notes, any comments about our discussion in this past week or even last week, we want to hear from you. 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com